إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our first session, reading from the brief advice of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, which is entitled, Manhaj Yawmi li-Talib al-Ilm. Manhaj Yawmi li-Talib al-Ilm. Yani a daily routine for the seeker of knowledge. Before we begin to read the first part of this advice from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, I would like to just quickly summarize a few words of advice that was conveyed to us by one of our brothers, one of our companions who is no longer here with us physically, Brother Abu Al-Awza'i Abdus Salam, who's studying in Mecca now. And he posted recently some notes from the answer to a question that was presented to Sheikh Sa'ad Al-Shithri Hafidhahullah concerning how to remain in a good spiritual state after Ramadan. The reason why I'm going to mention this is because, with the conclusion of the month of Ramadan, too often, too many of us begin to fall back from the good that we were engaged in during the month of Ramadan. And so somebody asked the Shaykh, after his lesson in which he was explaining the explanation of the Sunan of Abu Dawud, how do we remain upon khair after Ramadan? I'm going to summarize the answer. The main points that he said, there are actions one can perform that will allow one to attain many rewards after Ramadan. The first of them, acknowledging the blessings of Allah upon you. I'm not going to go into the explanation, but the first point that he made is to acknowledge, to be aware of, to be conscious of, and to call to mind the many blessings of Allah upon you. This is one way that a person may remain upon khair after Ramadan, if you are conscious and aware, if you acknowledge the favors of Allah upon you. The second thing he said is having ikhlas, sincerity in all of your actions. Having ikhlas in all of your actions. Whatever you are doing, and you make sure that you do it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. The third thing he said, perform all of your acts of worship with perfection, with ihsan. Doing whatever you do sincerely for the sake of Allah, and doing it with ihsan. Doing it in accordance with the sunnah and doing it well. Being aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raqib alayna. Number four, preserve the limbs against disobeying Allah. Be careful to avoid al-ma'asi. After Ramadan, some people let loose and they begin to do everything that they didn't do in Ramadan. They didn't smoke cigarettes in Ramadan. They didn't listen to music in Ramadan. They didn't do this, that, and the other. And now the Ramadan is over. It's as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only deserves to be worshipped in Ramadan. Preserve your limbs against disobedient salah. The fifth thing he said, safeguard and uphold the obligations of the deen. All of the things that we used to do in Ramadan, of the obligatory deeds, especially, not to mention the voluntary deeds, but especially the obligatory deeds, that we continue to uphold them, to perform the prayers 5 times a day, in their time, in the jama'ah, in the masjid, and so on. The sixth thing he said, avoid evil thoughts and suspicions of others. Avoid evil thoughts and suspicions of others. And finally, he said, constantly remember Allah. And this is a tremendous advice that our brother Abu al-Awza'i has conveyed to us, and I thought that it is worthy that we begin our discussion tonight with a reminder of this important advice that every one of us certainly can benefit from with the conclusion of the month of Ramadan, so that we may remain upon the khair. If we were upon khair in Ramadan, that we remain upon it for the rest of the months of the year and throughout our life. Okay, tonight our discussion is going to begin with the actual reading of the text of the brief advice of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen to one of his students, person who asked him for advice. And let me say that I neglected to make copies of the study guide for tonight, but I did send it to the class a couple of days ago by email. So, yani, hopefully you have access to it and be prepared, yani, next week to, yani, answer those questions. Naam. Okay, so, and we're going to read the text of the Shaykh's advice, which is very, very brief advice. And I must say that it's an advice that I have read many times, not just recently, but over the years. The first time I read it was when it was written, about 20-something years, 25, 27, 8 years ago. It was posted in a masjid in the neighborhood where I was living at. And I read it, and I found it to be of tremendous benefit. And I can honestly say that whoever tries to abide by this advice that he has given, inshallah, it will help you. There's no doubt about it. It will help anybody who does any of it, even if you, yani, don't, yani, implement all of it. Okay, but before we read the advice, of course, yani, we should start with a few words about the Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen. Even though we're all familiar with him, and we have read some of his books in the past, and we've discussed something about his life, but in any case, just a couple of minutes, just to refresh our memories, yani, he is Al-Allama Al-Faqih Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Salih ibn Muhammad ibn Al-Uthaymeen Al-Tamimi Al-Najdi rahimahullah rahmatan wasiya. He was born in the city of Unayza, the city of Unayza in the region of Qasim in Saudi Arabia. He was born on the 27th of the month of Ramadan. 27th of the month of Ramadan in the year 1347. From amongst his more prominent teachers that he learned from was first and foremost his most important teacher, that is Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'adi, who died in the year 1376. And from amongst his prominent teachers is Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz rahimahullah, who died in the year 1420. And from amongst his eminent teachers, yani, the great scholar of Tafsir, the Imam of Tafsir of this era, that is Shaykh Muhammad Amin al-Shanqiti, who died in the year 1393. Concerning his teaching style and his occupation, yani, the positions that he held, it is said, in summary, in brief, that when he entered into the field of teaching, a great number of students from inside and outside Saudi Arabia benefited from him. And one of the amazing things is that perhaps he had more students from outside of the country than inside of the country, and if anybody went during his lifetime to Qasim or to Unayza, they would have found that the overwhelming hundreds and hundreds of students who studied with him regularly, not passing through, but who lived in Unayza, and who were actually taken care of, maintained, housing and food and clothing by the Shaykh himself, were hundreds and hundreds of students who came from outside of Saudi Arabia. Now, now, of course, everything was easier at that time than it is today. It was easier last year than it is this year. Naam. But in any case, yani, the Shaykh, I don't want to get sidetracked, but the Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen was a scholar of, yani, of the highest rank. And his influence was far-reaching, to the extent that even if a person, yani, came to him to learn and they had a problem, he could just make a phone call to the emir, to a prince or somebody, and solve his problem instantly. That's a fact, without any difficulty whatsoever. So that time was different than it is today. But he had hundreds, literally hundreds, maybe going to 1,000 of students from outside of Saudi Arabia who lived in Unayza, in the dormitories, and who were housed and fed and clothed at the expense of the sheikh. Of course, the sheikh, he wasn't rich, but people gave him millions and millions of riyals to take care of people who were in need, poor people, students, and other than that. In any case, yani people came from around the world to study with him, and many people also from Saudi Arabia. It is said that he had his own unique style of interpretation and explanation of religious points. Yani his style, whoever has any experience, listening to the Shaykh, even recordings, then you know that he was definitely unique in his way of explanation and interpretation, and he was from amongst those scholars who served Islam without any type of religious prejudice, who kept themselves away from the limitations of blind following to the extent that some of the students of knowledge, I don't want to say scholars, but some students of knowledge, actually had yani problems with the Imam because of his yani frequent yani going outside of the opinions of the madhab, not blind following the madhab, because he was constant in taking the position that he believed was strongest based on evidence, even if it was against the madhab. To that extent, yani he was distinguished in his great exertion, yani of effort, yani ijtihad, and using of qiyas, analogical deductions, which clearly prove the religious understanding he possessed and the correct usage of the principles, the usul, that he had adopted. In giving religious verdicts, like Imam Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, the fatawa of Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, based upon the minhaj of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, which is evidenced, yani from the Qur'an and from the Sunnah. He was a professor, in terms of his position, he was a professor of Usuluddin and the Sharia faculty, yani the Kulliyat al-Sharia of Imam Muhammad ibn Saud al-Islamiyah, Qasim branch, and he was also a member of the Council of Senior Scholars, Kibar al-Ulama of Saudi Arabia, and he was the Imam and Khatib of the Grand Mosque, yani the big masjid in the city of Uneza. From amongst his well-known translated works, we say translated because his works are unlimited, yani so many that we can't count them, but from amongst those works that have been translated, important works in Aqidah, his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, which is tremendous, tremendous, tremendous explanation. His explanation of Usul al-Thalatha, Al-Aqidah al-Wasatiyya, Lumat al-Itiqad, all these books are basic, important, fundamental books of Islamic Aqidah that he has explained, along with others, yani the exemplary foundations concerning the beautiful names and attributes of Allah, Al-Qawaid al-Muthla, which he actually authored himself, it's not an explanation, the Manhaj of Ahl al-Sunnah fil Aqidah wal-Amal, Aqidah Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, and so on. From amongst his books in Tafsir, from amongst the really beneficial books that the Shaykh wrote in Tafsir, even though he has a Tafsir that has been compiled from his audio recordings, the introduction to the principles of Tafsir, introduction to Usul al-Tafsir, and his tremendous Tafsir of Ayatul Kursi, which is translated by Dr. Salih al-Sali, rahimahullah. In Hadith, he has a very important explanation of Riyad al-Salihin, explanation of Arba'een and Nawawi. In Fiqh, yani there's the description of the Prophet's prayer, which is a tremendous book. Sujood al-Sahwa, gatherings in the month of Ramadan, 48 questions and fasting, Fatawa of the Arkan of Islam, which is, as last time I saw it, is in two big volumes, tremendous, tremendous work. In closing, we just want to say briefly that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen was famous, well-known, for his simplicity and his modesty, along with his exemplary manners with everyone that he encountered, as well as the unique style of presenting topics. I want to emphasize the first point, and that is he was well-known for his simplicity and his modesty. His simplicity and his modesty. And to the extent that the car that he drove was an old car that probably one of us, I don't know about you, but probably most of us are poor people, and we wouldn't want to drive a car that he was driving. That's how, yani, his life, his modesty and his simplicity was to that extent that even, as I was mentioning recently, and I mentioned it, yani, previously, I remember it was narrated authentically that one time a young man came to him on his way to the masjid and said, Sheikh, I would like to invite you to my wedding. And the Sheikh was apologizing that he wouldn't be able to attend because of previous engagements. And he said, but anyway, here's a gift. And he gave him the car keys to a brand new car that somebody had given to him because they saw the old car he was driving. and he took those keys that he never put in his pocket, and he never got into the car, and he just gave it to the man and said, this is a gift for your wedding. I mean, if whoever knows what kind of people we are dealing with these scholars, the imams of the people of Sunnah, then it is difficult to, yani, to listen to the kind of things that people say about the scholars of Islam, deriding them and belittling them only because of their own ignorance. The Shaykh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he passed away on Wednesday the 15th of Shawwal in the year 1421 at the age of 74. He was buried in Mecca. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon him. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. This is brief, idea, something about the Shaykh, even though, probably it's not the first time that we have heard it, but anyway, we want to remind ourselves of who this advice is coming from, because our topic for the next few weeks, up until Eid al-Adha, is going to be from this brief advice that the Shaykh wrote, and it is incumbent upon us, and it's important for us to actually reflect a little bit upon the man who wrote this advice in order to fully appreciate what we are about to read and what we are going to be discussing. Like to know who is it that gave this advice. Because perhaps, sometimes we don't fully appreciate the advice that is being given to us because of the person that's giving it. Two people might give somebody the same advice, but because one person might be somebody who's unknown, then they might not appreciate that advice. Whereas if it came from somebody who's important or known, then they might like take hold to it in a different way. So I'm saying that that is not correct, that we accept advice based on who's giving it. That's not correct. But there's no doubt that if the advice is coming from a person who is a scholar and a person of integrity and high morality, a person who is learned and who we trust, that when they advise, they're going to give the best advice possible, sincere advice, then in that case, hopefully, the fact that the one who's giving this advice is who it is, we might hold on to it in a different way than if it was coming from somebody else. So, this is just a brief reminder of the person from whom this advice is coming from, one of the foremost, one of the leading scholars of this time that we are living in, without a doubt. May Allah shower His mercy upon him. Allahumma musta'an. Naam. The Shaykh, he says, the essay or the advice begins, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Min Muhammad al-Salih al-Uthaymeen ila al-Ibni. And he mentions the name. It's not, the name of the person is not here in the, when they printed the book, they took the name out. Hafidhahullah ta'ala. Now, of course, we say rahimahullah because the Shaykh now has passed away, but when he wrote this advice, that's how it was written. Min Muhammad as-Salih al-Uthaymeen ila al-Ibn. Hafidhahullah ta'ala. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa ba'd. Faqad sa'altani. بارك الله فيك أن أضع لك منهجا تسير عليه في حياتك. The Shaykh, after greeting the person seeking advice with salams, he said, indeed, you have requested from me, you have asked me, may Allah bless you, to write down or to put down or to offer to you a manhaj that you may travel upon in your life. Naam. Can you have a copy? Naam, inshallah. Naam. The Shaykh, he's saying, this is what you have requested from me, meaning that this is what I'm going to respond to you, to place before you a manhaj. It has been translated into English as a routine, a daily routine, manhaj yomi, a daily routine. And perhaps the word routine is acceptable in the sense that a routine is something that you do regularly all the time. Okay, so yes, Yani what the Shaykh is saying here, it is something that we should be yani attending to regularly. It should be something that we do all the time, not only in the month of Ramadan, not only on the day of Jumu'ah, not only on special occasions. Rather, this is supposed to be our life in public and in private, all the time, every day throughout our life until we leave from this world. Manhaj tasiru alayhi fi hayatika. Yani a methodology, a course of action, a manner, a way, a road that you're going to travel upon throughout your life. That's what the Shaykh is saying to him. This is what you have asked for. Wa inni la as'alu Allah ta'ala ay yuwaffiqna jami'an lima fihi al-huda wal-rashad wal-sawab wal-sadad wa an yaj'alana hudatan muhtadin salihin muslihin. The Shaykh says, so indeed I ask Allah the Most High to grant us success, yani the tawfiq, all of us, jami'an, to do or to act in a way that is upon al-huda wal-rashad wal-sawab wal-sadad. Yani that Allah grant us success in being upon right guidance and correct behavior and yani acting in the way that is correct and that is to the point, yani that hits the mark. And that he make us guides who are rightly guided. Yani, that we be of those who guide others and that we ourselves are rightly guided. That he make us to be of those who are righteous in their behavior and also those who rectify the behavior of others. Yani, salih wa muslih. That he make us يعني الهادي المهدي, that he make us الصالح المصلح. And this is important because يعني the Shaykh in many places he addresses an issue يعني in this way in a comprehensive manner يعني which is an acknowledgement of the reality that many people seek to be salih, righteous in themselves, and they forget about rectifying the society around them. And this is important, that we not only strive to be righteous first and foremost in ourselves, but also that we be the muslih, the one who tries to correct and to reform and to rectify the behavior and the actions and the beliefs of those who are around us. With this being said, after this supplication, asking Allah to grant us success, he said, فَأَقُولُ أَوَّلًا مَعَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. يعني أَقُولُ, يعني I say, this is the منهج that you should follow, that you should travel upon with Allah عز وجل, the mighty and the majestic. And the Shaykh in this advice, he divides the advice into four areas. The first area is the manhaj that you should follow in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no doubt that your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your most important relationship. And this has to be what you start with. Yani your manhaj with Allah. What is your manhaj with Allah? Yani when we talk about manhaj, sometimes we think that the manhaj yani is how we deal with other people. And we confine ourselves in how we deal with other people. And we forget that the foundation of the manhaj is yani your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not correct, then everything that follows after that is also not going to be correct. The Shaykh says, أولاً مع الله عز وجل. أولاً مع الله عز وجل. احرص على أن يكون دائماً مع الله عز وجل. مع الله عز وجل. مستحضراً عظمته مفكراً في آياته الكونية مثل خلق السماوات والأرض وما أودع فيهما من بالغ حكمته وباهر قدرته وعظيم رحمته ومنته وآياته الشرعية التي بعث بها رسله ولا سيما خاتمه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أو خاتمه خاتمهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني the first point the Sheikh says يعني احرص على أن تكون دائما مع الله عز وجل. يعني that a person should be diligent and eager. يعني go after this particular matter, and that is that you constantly realize, recognize, acknowledge that you need to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani that Allah is the focal point of your life. That you are conscious always of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence. That we are, Allah is seeing us. That Allah is hearing us. That Allah has control over all affairs. Yani that Allah is with us by His knowledge and by His power. And Allah is with us, yani with the believers, yani with His aid and assistance and His support and His defending the believers. احرص على أن تكون دائما, that you will always be with Allah عز وجل, مستحضرا عظمته, yani calling to mind, being conscious and always aware of His greatness and His magnificence. Yani constantly reminding yourself of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani when you are at home or when you are in the workplace, when you are at school or in the market, you should always be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His greatness and His magnificence. مُفَكِّرًا فِي آيَاتِهِ الْقَوْنِيَةِ, constantly reflecting upon His universal signs, like the creation of the heavens and the earth, and whatever He has placed in the heavens and the earth, يعني مِنْ بَالِغِ حِكْمَتِهِ, from His far-reaching wisdom. وَبَاهِرِ قُدْرَتِهِ, and His brilliant, splendid power and ability. وَعَظِيمْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَمِنَّتِهِ, and the greatness of His mercy and His favor. Yani what the creation of the heavens and the earth, for example, the ayat of Allah in the Qawniyah, the creation, His creation of the heavens and the earth, and all that He has placed in them. All that He has placed in them, that is the result of His far-reaching wisdom and His brilliant, yani all-encompassing power and His great mercy and His favor. Yani out of Allah's mercy He has placed in the heavens and the earth that which benefits us. That is Allah's favor upon us. And a person reflects upon this. Wa ayatihi shar'iyya, and also to call to mind and to reflect upon His legislative signs. Yani the ayat, yani that which the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has legislated in the Sharia, that which He has sent or that He has missioned, yani those ayat that Allah has missioned the prophets with, especially the seal of the prophets, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the first point, and this point inshallah in the coming session we're going to discuss it in some detail. After this the Shaykh, the Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he says, Number two, yani the second point related to the minhaj with Allah Azza wa Jalla. The second point he said, أَنْ يَكُونَ قَلْبُكَ مَمْلُوءًا بِمَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, that your heart be filled, overflowing with the love of Allah the Most High. Why? Based on what? لِمَا يَغْذُوكَ بِمَا يَغْذُوكَ بِهِ مِنَ النِّعْمِ وَيَدْفَعُ عَنْكَ مِنَ النِّقَمِ ولا سيما نعمة الإسلام والاستقامة عليه حتى يكون هو الله سبحانه وتعالى أحب شيئا إليك. The second point in your manhaj with Allah, that your heart be filled with the love of Allah the Most High, due to that which He has nurtured and nourished you with from the bounties and favors that He has given to you of all types, and what He has repulsed from you of the niqam, yani the hardships, the difficulties, the adversities that Allah has prevented from befalling you. And especially, our hearts should be filled with the love of Allah, especially due to the ni'mah of Islam and al-istiqama alayhi, Yani especially due to the ni'mah of Islam, of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given to the human being, from the greatest of them is that He has guided us to Islam. And along with that, the favor of istiqamah, that a person remains steadfast, upright upon Islam. Because there are millions of people in the world who identify with Islam, who ascribe to themselves Islam, but they are not upon Islam, yani they are not upright upon the Islam in practicing it in their life. This is a tremendous ni'mah, the ni'mah of Islam, but along with it, al-istiqamah, upon it, being upright upon Islam, to the extent our heart be filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the extent that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be the most beloved to us of everything, yani, in existence. That Allah will be more beloved to us than anyone or anything. This is the extent to which our hearts should be filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this also, yani, will be discussed in some detail in the next, yani, session, bi'idhin lillahi ta'ala. Thirdly, he said, in your minhaj with Allah, أن يكون قلبك مملوءا بتعظيم الله عز وجل حتى يكون هو الله سبحانه وتعالى في نفسك أعظم شيء. يعني also that our hearts be filled with the تعظيم of Allah, the exaltation, the يعني يعني glorification of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, to the extent that within ourselves, يعني في نفسك, في قلبك, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be yani the greatest and the most magnificent of all. Yani to you within yourself, there is no one, there is nothing that is greater, that is more exalted than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything else is less than Him. Before number four, the Shaykh says, in reference to number two and number three, filling your heart with the love of Allah and the ta'zeem of Allah, he said, وَبِإِجْتِمَاعِ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَتَعْظِيمِهِ فِي قَلْبِكَ تَسْتَقِيمُ عَلَى طَاعَتِهِ قَائِمًا بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ لِمَحَبَّتِكَ إِيَّاهُ تَارِكًا لِمَا نَهَى عَنْهُ لِتَعْظِيمِكَ لَهُ. Yani by the combination of these two affairs, filling one's heart with the love of Allah and the ta'zeem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is through this, the combination of the mahabba and ta'zeem of Allah, that a person will be upright upon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَائِمٌ بِمَا عَمْرَ بِهِ لِمَحَبَّتِكَ إِيَّاهُ. Yani that a person will fulfill all that Allah has commanded them with due to one's love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that a person would abandon whatever Allah has prohibited them from, due to their exaltation, their glorification, their ta'zeem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here the Shaykh, and we're going to talk about this also, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in detail, but just to highlight the point that the Shaykh is saying, it is the love of Allah. If one's heart is filled with love of Allah, this is what will enable you to be obedient to Him. And it is the ta'zeem of Allah, yani because you see the greatness and the magnificence of Allah, this is what will help you and enable you to avoid, yani, that which He has prohibited. Number four, the Shaykh says, أن تكون مخلصا له جل وعلا في عبادتك متوكلا عليه في جميع أحوالك لتحقق بذلك مقام إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. That you be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your عبادتك, in your acts of worship. And that you be mutawakkilan, reliant, dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all situations or circumstances. Fi jami' ahwalika. No matter what it is, in every situation or circumstance, that you be dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these two things, yani al-ikhlas in one's worship, and yani being dependent, at-tawakkul ala Allah in every situation or circumstance, it is by this way that a person is enabled to what? Achieve, to realize, to actualize the high station that is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That is truly worshipping Allah alone and truly seeking help from Allah alone in order to worship Him. Yani a person can achieve this by number one, being sincere, having ikhlas in all of their acts of worship, and number two, yani being dependent and reliant upon Allah alone in every situation or circumstance. Then the Shaykh, he closes yani the minhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, and it's not numbered, but it's as though it is the fifth point in my mind anyway. وَتَسْتَحْضِرُ تَسْتَحْضِرُ بِقَلْبِكَ أَنَّكَ إِنَّمَا تَقُومُ بِمَا أَمَرَ امْتِثَالًا لِأَمْرِهِ وَتَتْرُكُ مَا نَهَى عَنْهُ امْتِثَالًا لِنَهْيِهِ فَإِنَّكَ بِذَلِكَ تَجِدُ لِلْعِبَادَةِ طَعْمًا لَا تُتْرِكُهُ مَا الْغَفْلَةِ وَتَجِدُ فِي الْأُمُورِ عَوْنًا مِنْهُ لَا يَحْصُلُ لَكَ مَا الْاِعْتِمَادِ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ. And the Shaykh, he closes the minhaj with Allah by saying to yani call to mind, yani to make oneself conscious and aware within your heart that إِنَّمَا تَقُومُ بِمَا عَمْرَ امْتِثَالًا لِأَمْرِهِ, that indeed, verily, certainly, the only reason why you are fulfilling what Allah has commanded is in compliance, yani with the fact that He is the one who has commanded you with it. Yani that a person is doing what Allah has commanded, being conscious and aware, and bringing to the forefront of their mind that I am doing this thing because it is in compliance, yani with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that I am leaving this thing which Allah has prohibited in compliance with His prohibition. Yani the reason why we are doing what we are doing is because Allah has commanded it, and the reason why we are leaving what we are leaving is because Allah has prohibited it. Yani calling this to mind. Indeed, the Shaykh says, it is by doing so that a person will find for their ibadah a ta'am, yani a sweetness, a taste, a sweetness, the sweetness of the worship, that a person will taste this sweetness that they will not achieve if they are in a state of ghafla. Yani, the person who is conscious while they are doing an act of worship, that they are following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will enable them to experience a sweetness in their worship that they would never achieve if they were unmindful, if they were inattentive, if they were unconscious while they are doing it, that they are doing it indeed only because Allah has commanded them with it. And they will find in their affairs generally awn and minhu, help and aid and assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they would never achieve if they had relied upon their self alone. Yani whoever is conscious that whatever they're doing, that they're doing it asking for help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're doing it, yani, seeking assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they are doing whatever they're doing because Allah has commanded it and Allah has prohibited it, then they will find help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they would never have found if they had relied solely upon themselves. This is the minhaj that the Shaykh has given to as an advice to a student, and this is an advice for every one of us. And inshallah, we're going to review these points any next week bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. In any case, it is incumbent upon us to perhaps read this first advice, the minhaj with Allah, and examine our individual selves and see where are we in reference to this minhaj, how close are we to it, how far are we from it, and where, what can we do to improve ourselves, to bring ourselves in closer compliance with this advice from this great imam, this great scholar of the people of Sunnah of our era, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiya. Number two, the second aspect of the advice that the Shaykh gave, yani the manhaj that a person can follow, the path, the road that they can walk upon in the course of their life, for their entire life, he said, ثانياً مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yani, the manhaj, what is your manhaj with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم? Yani, how should we review our relationship with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم? Number one, أن تقدم محبته صلى الله عليه وسلم على محبة كل مخلوق وحجه يعني أن تقدم حجه وسنته على كل حج وسنة. يعني that a person give precedence to his love, the love of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, over the love of any created being, one's spouse, children, parents, your sheikh, whoever, and in the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has precedence, preference over every created being. And giving precedence and preference to his guidance and to his sunnah over the guidance of any other created being or the way of any other created being. And the love of the Prophet ﷺ has to be first and foremost over every created being, and his sunnah and his guidance giving precedence over everyone, over the rulers, over the scientists, over whoever. There's nobody who came with any guidance or any way of life that can be given precedence or preference over the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Number two, أن تتخذه إماما لك في عبادتك وأخلاقك. That you take him as an imam for you, that the Prophet ﷺ be your imam, the one that you're going to follow in your worship and in your character and manners. Yani the Shaykh singled out these two things, although yani they are not the only things that we take the Prophet as our imam, but indeed from the most important of them is in your worship and in your akhlaq. And this is because yani what he means by your worship, he means your relationship with Allah. And your akhlaq, he means primarily your relationship with the human beings. Although there's no doubt that there's yani khuluq ma'Allah, but the Shaykh here, it appears as though he is distinguishing between your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's your imam in your relationship with Allah, and he is your imam in your relationship with the people. So whether you're doing that which is yani quote unquote called religious acts of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or just in your dealings with the people in the society, with your neighbors, with your family, whoever, then he is our imam in every type of relationship, whether it is the relationship with the creator or with the creation. To take him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as your imam in your worship and in your akhlaq, such that yani bihaythu tastahdir 'inda fi'li al-ibada annaka muttabi'un lahu wa ka'annahu amamaka tatarassamu khutahu wa tanhaju nahjahu. Yani making him your imam means that you are conscious, you are aware that you call to mind, you remind yourself at every act of worship that you do. Every time you're doing an act of worship, yani you remind yourself that you are following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in whatever you are doing. It is as though he is in front of you and you are following in his footsteps. That you are what? Following in his footsteps. Following the road that he has placed in front of you. Following his way, his yani nahj. وكذلك في مخالقاتك الناس أنك متخلق بأخلاقه التي قال الله عنها وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. And likewise, yani likewise, meaning these two matters. The first matter being what? That you call to mind and always try to be conscious when you're doing any act of worship that you are following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in what he did, in the way that he did it, and likewise in your dealings with the people, that you take on and exemplify, that you display and manifest the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which Allah said to him about his character, wa innaka لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. That indeed you are upon an exalted, yani lofty, sublime standard of character. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And for the students of Arabic, yani the emphasis here is doubled, huh? وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Yani meaning that indeed, definitely, certainly, you are upon the exalted, sublime, yani standard of character. This is from Surah Al-Qalam, 68th Surah, 4th Ayat. Then the Shaykh says, yani take the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an imam for you in your worship and in your ibadah, in your relationship with Allah and your relationship with the people, and deal with the people, yani displaying in your behavior with the people the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is important for us, and I don't want to get sidetracked, but it is important to note, that when we deal with the people, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim, whether they are the well-to-do people or the lesser people, whether they are rich or poor, whether they are people of status or other than that, yani in our dealing with the people, we must remind ourselves that we have to deal with them with the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of us deal with certain kinds of people, yani people that we don't like, or people who have no station or status in the society or whatever, as though they are not really worthy of respect. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he dealt with people, yani with a standard of character that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said is the highest standard of character. He's our example. The Shaykh says, وَمَتَا أَلْتَزَمْتَ بِهَذَا فَسَتَكُونُ حَرِيسًا غَيْرَ تَلْحِرَسْ عَلَى الْعِلْمِ بِشَرِيَاتِهِ وَأَخْلَاقِهِ. That whenever a person adheres to this, yani calling to mind, be taking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as your example in your worship and in your character and your dealings with the people, if a person sticks to this, trying to exemplify the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever sticks to this, then they will find themselves being extremely diligent, eager in seeking out knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sharia and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's character. They will find themselves eagerly, diligently seeking knowledge of his sharia and of his akhlaq. His sharia here, wallahu alam, it is referring to what? Yani, in his worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his akhlaq, yani in his manners and character with the people. A person will be desirous, will be eager to seek out knowledge of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam worshipped Allah, so that they can worship him the way he did and follow him in that. And they will be desirous of knowing how he dealt with the people, so that we can deal with the people in the same way. And finally the Shaykh says, وَأَن تَكُونَ دَاعِيًا لِسُنَّتِهِ نَاصِرًا لَهَا مُدَافِعًا عَنْهَا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى سَيَنْصُرُكَ بِقَدْرِ نَصْرِكَ لِشَرِيَتِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And that you should be a caller to his sunnah, and a supporter of his sunnah, and a defender of his sunnah. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support you to the extent that you support his sharia. Yani to the extent that you are a supporter of the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the law that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, to the extent that you are a defender of the sharia, of the sunnah, to that extent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support you. These three points, yani that the Shaykh mentions here in the manhaj with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani to give precedence to love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sunnah and his guidance, and to take him as an imam in your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your dealings with the people, and to be one who calls to the sunnah and supports and defends the sunnah, yani each one of these points also requires some discussion بإذن الله تعالى. Thalithan, the third area that the Shaykh mentions, عَمَلُكَ الْيَوْمِ غَيْرُ الْمَفْرُوضَاتِ, yani your daily deeds, your daily worship, other than that which Allah has made obligatory upon us, other than the mafruḍāt. Yani that's a given, right? That whatever Allah has made obligatory upon us, that's automatic. That's part of our life, our regular way of living, that we're going to be observing those obligatory duties. The Shaykh here is saying, beyond, above and beyond that, عَمَلُكَ الْيَوْمِ, yani your worship that you do every day, other than that which Allah has made obligatory upon you. And the Shaykh mentions five points. And of course, yani that he could have added many points, but we will look at these 5 points because he has singled out these 5 points, even though there are so many other things that he could have said, but he singled out these 5 points. Yani in your daily life, these things you should be doing as your daily regular course of action, your daily routine. عَمَلُكَ الْيَوْمِ. And again, yani it is incumbent upon each one of us to look at ourselves. And perhaps we might look at our spouse also, we might look at our children if we're responsible for somebody else, right? But first and foremost, we should be looking at ourselves. And we should be examining ourselves and measuring ourselves in light of what the Shaykh, yani rahimahullah, has offered to us as being, yani our manhaj, al-yawmi, yani our daily way, our daily method, our daily, yani path that we're gonna travel upon throughout our life. The deeds that you should be doing every day, other than that which is obligatory. إِذَا قُمْتَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ, if you got up during the night, فَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى وَدْعُ اللَّهَ بِمَا شِئْتَ. Yani, if you got up in the night, then perform ذكر of Allah. Naam. Remembrance, praise, and glorification of Allah. And supplicate to Allah with whatever you will. Supplicate for whatever you will. فَإِنَّ الدُّعَاءَ فِي هَذَا الْمَوْطِنِ حَرِيٌّ بِالْإِجَابَةِ. Indeed, supplicating in this situation, yani a person who woke up in the night and praised and glorified Allah and then supplicated to Allah, yani a person got up in the night, they said, Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah. In this position, in this particular situation, it is more likely, it is expected, it is worthy that that dua should be accepted. And there are some hadith concerning this that are of utmost importance. The point is, the Shaykh is saying here, when you get up in the night, first praise Allah, and then supplicate for whatever you will. For indeed, supplication in this particular situation is more likely, and it is expected that it will be answered, it will be responded to. وَقْرَ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and recite the saying of Allah the Most High, yani from Surah Ali Imran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, to the end of the ayat, the Shaykh says, and recite this saying of Allah, indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and alternation of night and day, are signs for ulul albab. Yani the people, yani of reason, the people of intellect, the people who have knowledge, and who, yani, have a mind to think. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alternation of night and day, there are signs. Now, he's saying to recite it every night. When a person woke up in the night, they should recite this ayat. Naam. Fikum barakallah. Yani, this is tremendous. Yani, the Shaykh is not just saying recite this ayat, but he's saying begin with this ayat. Hatta takhtima Surah Ali Imran wa hiya ashru ayat. Until you complete, until you finish the remaining ayats from Surah Ali Imran, and those ayats that follow this ayat, there are 10 ayat. To the end of the surah. To the end of the surah. Yani, the Shaykh is saying, when you wake up in the night, wake up and recite these ayat. The beginning of it, yani, is clear, right? That it's talking about, yani, acknowledging, recognizing, declaring to yourself that indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alternation of the night and day, there are signs for the people who are alive, for the people who have iman. There are signs in this. If a person reflects upon this, so if a person wakes up in the night, and they begin by reciting these ayats, it's almost as though you are saying to yourself, take a moment and reflect upon the greatness of the creation of Allah. To recognize and to acknowledge, so that you become instantly aware of the magnificence and the greatness and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, yani, this is something that we can begin with. Then he says, number two, صلي ما كتب لك في آخر الليل واختم صلاتك بالوتر. Yani, pray, perform prayer in the end of the night, yani, in the last part of the night, or whatever time you woke up in the night. Pray whatever has been written for you, whatever Allah has decreed for you. And then conclude it with Salatul Witr, with the prayer of Witr. Yani, pray 2 rak'ah or 4 rak'ah or 6 rak'ah or any number of rak'ah in pairs, and then conclude that night prayer with the Witr prayer. And again, and this is something the Shaykh is saying, that this should be our daily routine. And this is something that we do every night. When you woke up in the night, that you praise Allah, you supplicate to Allah, you recite these ayahs from the Quran, you perform, yani, the night prayer, tahajjud, and you perform the witr prayer. Wa alaykum salam. The witr prayer is odd number of rak'ah. 1 rak'ah or 3 rak'ah or 5 rak'ah or 7 rak'ah should be an odd number of rak'ah. Naam. Yani, generally it's performed as 1 rak'ah or 3 rak'ah. But in any case, yes, it's an odd number of rak'ah. Yani, just as some of the scholars said that the Maghrib prayer is the witr of the day, and then this prayer is the witr of the night. Yani, the one rak'ah or three rak'ah that a person prays at the end of the pairs of rak'ah that we pray during the night. Number three, حافظ على ما تيسر لك من أذكار الصباح. Yani, be strict in observing. Strictly observe whatever is easy for you of the words of remembrance of the morning, Adhkar al-Sabah. Yani, the Shaykh is saying, Ma tayassara laka, because the Adhkar al-Sabah are many. In the small book of supplications, Hisn al-Muslim, yani, and under the Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa, he narrates about 20-something Adhkar. About 20-something Adhkar. So how many people are going to recite all of them? The Shaykh said, whatever is easy for you of Adhkar al-Sabah. Whatever is easy. One of them, or two of them, or three of them, whatever you can do, the more the better. The Prophet ﷺ used to recite the Adhkar al-Sabah after the Fajr prayer until sunrise. Yani, for 1 hour, or longer, or less, depending on the time of the year, the place where you are. He used to recite Adhkar al-Sabah. The Shaykh says, حافظ على ما تيسر لك. Yani, be strictly observed, whatever is easy for you of the Adhkar al-Sabah, the words of remembrance that are recited in the morning. Whoever didn't memorize them, read them from a book. Those books have been published in small pocket size. You can carry it in your pocket. When you finish the Fajr prayer, you get up, instead of running out of the masjid, you open that little book, if you didn't memorize them, and just read them in Arabic or in whatever language you read in. Naam. You know, we normally take questions at the end of the class, right?
No.
The book is now available on app for your telephone. No. So if you don't carry it in your pocket, you definitely carry it in your telephone. But I hope that when you enter the masjid, that you turn your telephone off. One of the most disturbing things that's really troubling, wallahi, it is unacceptable. It's unacceptable that we don't turn our telephone off when we come in the masjid. We are human beings, right? And the human being, they said, it is named, yani, insan, because of nisyan. So we do forget, but that shouldn't be our routine, that all the time we go to the masjid and we are not turning off our telephone. Rather, when you go into the masjid, unless you are a heart surgeon or something and you're on call for some heart surgery, turn your phone off. At least put it on vibration so it doesn't disturb the people in the prayer or whatever they're doing in the masjid, praying, supplicating, making dhikr, reading Quran, whatever. We shouldn't disturb the people with these telephones. Wallahu musta'an. And we're running out of time. The Shaykh, he said, Naam, strictly observe whatever is easy for you from the Adhkar al-Sabah. Qul miyata marra la ilaha illallah. Say 100 times. 100 times. Naam, 100 times. La ilaha illallah. Wahdahu la sharika lah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. There is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah. Alone. He is alone in that, yani, deserving to be worshipped. لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. And there is no partner with him that can take a share of it. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. To him is the kingdom, the sovereignty of everything in the existence. And to him belongs all the praise. And he has power over everything. The Shaykh said, say this 100 times, and the hadith concerning this are authentic, and there are more than one, and in one of them, yani, says that whoever says this 100 times, yani, from the Adhkar al-Sabah, that they would give the reward of freeing 10 slaves, and they would have recorded for them 100 hasanat, and they would have erased from their evil deeds 100 sayyat, and they would have protection from shaitan until evening, until the end of the yani rewards for reciting 100 times La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Number 4, salli rak'atay ad-duha. Perform 2 rak'ah of salatul duha. Salatul duha is to be performed after the Fajr prayer up until Dhuhr time. Yani 15 or 20 minutes after the sun rises. Yani not immediately at sunrise, but once the sun has risen, then wait at least 10 or 15 minutes and then pray, yani salatul duha, up until the same amount of time before dhuhr, maybe 10 or 15 minutes before dhuhr. You can pray it in any time, If a person sits in the masjid after performing the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah and performs dhikr of Allah until sunrise and then performs these two rak'ah or four rak'ah, it is reported authentically, yani, and there's some discrepancy about the yani sihat al-hadith, but what is well known is that it is authentic that whoever does so, yani, perform these two or four rak'ah after praying the Salatul Jama'ah, yani Fajr and Jama'ah, and remembering Allah until sunrise, they will get the reward of Hajj and Umrah. Tamatan, tamatan, tamatan. The reward of Hajj and Umrah. And this doesn't excuse a person from the obligatory Hajj if they didn't make it yet, but like the reward of performing Hajj and Umrah. And finally, the Shaykh says, Hafidh ala adhkar al-masa ma tayassara laka minha, and guard, strictly observe the adhkar al-masa, the evening adhkar, whatever is easy for you from them, because also they are many, so a person should do whatever they can. And the adhkar al-sabah, yani its preferable time, legislated time, is from after the Fajr prayer, after performing the Fajr prayer until sunrise. And the adhkar al-masa, its legislated time, its preferable time, is after performing the Asr prayer until sunset. And if a person missed those times, they should still, yani, remember Allah with those words, even if they, yani, missed the preferable time. And number four, finally, the Shaykh says the fourth aspect of the manhaj for the Muslim in your daily life is tariqatu talib al-ilm. Yani tariqatu talib al-ilm. Yani the fourth area is the way in which one, the manhaj that a person should follow in seeking knowledge. And this manhaj that the Shaykh has mentioned up until now, the manhaj with Allah and the manhaj with the Messenger of Allah and the manhaj in your daily actions other than the obligatory duties, is really for every Muslim. And then I would dare to say that the manhaj in seeking knowledge is also for every Muslim, because yani it is obligatory on every Muslim. Talib al-ilm faridatun ala kulli Muslim. Talib al-ilm faridatun ala kulli Muslim. It is obligatory for every Muslim to seek knowledge. How should we do it? The Shaykh says, number one, and he mentions five matters or six. He mentioned six matters. We're going to close with this for today, and next week, inshallah, we'll go back to the details of the first of the, yani, the things that he mentioned, the manhaj with Allah, and in the following weeks, yani, the other aspects of the manhaj that the Shaykh has laid out for us. Number four, tariqatu talib al-ilm. Ihris ala hifdhi kitabillahi ta'ala. Be diligent, be eager, go after this affair. Don't be lackadaisical. Don't be, yani, don't think that this is a small matter. Yani, be diligent in memorizing the Book of Allah, the Most High. Even if you are old, even if you are past 60, even if some of us are past 70. احرس على حفظ كتاب الله تعالى. واجعل لك كل يوم شيئا معينا تحافظ على قراءته. And make for yourself every day a specific portion of the Quran that you are going to strictly observe its reading. Whether it's 10 pages or a whole juz, 20 pages, or a fourth of a juz, whatever, even if it's one page. The Shaykh said what? وَجَعَلْ لَكَ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ. Every day. Make a portion, a specific portion of the Quran that you're going to recite every day. وَلْتَكُنْ قِرَاعَتُكَ بِالتَّدَبُّرْ وَتَفَحُمْ. And your reading of the Quran, in this daily reading, it should be with contemplation, reflection, and with understanding what you are reading. Not just reading Arabic and you don't have a clue what you're reading. If you don't know Arabic, you have to begin learning Arabic. And by the way, next month, on June 14th, we're going to start a class in this masjid every Sunday at 12 o'clock for those who want to learn Arabic from the beginning. Yani, a lot of times people kept saying, well, you're going to make a class for people who don't know Arabic at all. Well, we're going to make a class for the people who want to learn the alphabet. Starting 1 month from today, yani June 14th, Sundays, 12 o'clock. Huh? July. Thank you. I'm getting tired now, right? July 14th. This is June, right? Today is June 14th. 1 month from today, inshallah. July 14th. So if anybody's interested, or if you know anybody who's interested, especially those who are Arabic students, please find somebody who you want to benefit as you have benefited. Find somebody who doesn't know Arabic and they want to learn the alphabet. Even if they're old. Because the first time we did this class and the last time we did it, the first and last time, we had some brothers in the class who passed 60 years old. And they learned Arabic for the first time. They didn't know Aleph, Ba, Ta. And we had other people who knew already something. And we had some people who knew a lot. But in any case, it's for everybody. Now, Arabic. If you recite the Quran, recite it with tadabbur, reflection, contemplation, and tafahum, understanding of what you're reciting. You don't know Arabic yet? Then read the translation, whatever language that you know. Read it in Arabic if you can, and make sure you read also the meaning of it so you understand what you are reading. وَإِذَا عَنَّتْ لَكَ فَائِدَةٌ أَثْنَاءَ الْقِرَاءَ فَقَيِّدْهَا. And if a benefit comes forward, appears to you, a benefit, while you are reading, then write it down. Write it down. Yani take a minute and write a note that I just read something that's important that I want to make sure I go back to. Number two, after the memorization of the Quran and having a portion of the Quran that you recite every day, number two, it says, إِحْرِسْ عَلَى حِفْظِ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ صَحِيْ سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ حِفْظُ عُمْدَةُ الْأَحْكَامِ. Yani be diligent in memorizing whatever you are able to of the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Notice the Shaykh said, حَفْظْ مَا تَيَسَّرَ, whatever is easy for you, what you are able to do. مِنْ صَحِيْ سُنَّةِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Not just memorize hadith, but memorize that which is from the authentic narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from amongst them, yani is the memorization of عُمْدَةُ الْأَحْكَامِ by Al-Imam Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi, a very, very important book of hadith, which many scholars have explained, from amongst them, the companion of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, Shaykh Abdullah Ali Bassam, and from amongst them, other scholars who have explained this book, very, very important book, Umdat al-Ahkam, and from the beautiful explanation of this book, is Taysir al-Alam, the Sharh Umdat al-Ahkam, which we have studied some of it previously, and it is an important book, a very, very beneficial book, containing the hadith that are collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Yani either muttafaqun alayh or it's collected by Bukhari or Muslim. Number three, ihris ala at-tarkiz wa-thabat bihaythu la ta'khudh al-ilm nutafan min hadha shay'un wa min hadha shay'un li'anna hadha yudayyu waqtaka wa yushattitu dhi'naka. Yani be diligent upon at-tarkiz wa thabat. Yani being focused, concentrating on studying something, yani from the beginning to the end, and being firm upon that. Yani being steadfast upon it. Yani such that you don't just snatch or pluck or tear something from here and something from there, taking little bits of knowledge from here and there, and you never complete anything. Rather, yani focus on what you're going to study, focus on something, and be firm upon it from the beginning until the end. Take a small book and study it from the beginning until the end. Ihris ala tarkiz, concentration, focusing on something, with thabat, and remaining firm with it, and not, yani such that you do not just snatching, plucking, pulling from here and from there, such that, yani in this way, this causes a person to waste their time, and it causes their mind to be scattered here and there, not focusing on any one thing that you will benefit from. Number four, ibda bisigar al-kutub wa ta'ammalha jayyida. Begin with the smaller books. Yani don't begin with Fath al-Bari and the Sharh of Muslim by Imam Nawawi. Begin with the small books, like 40 hadith, a small book. Start with the small books. In Aqidah, the small books. Start with the small books like Usul al-Thalatha or something like this, or yani Minhaj Ahl al-Sunnah fil Aqidah wal-Amal al-Shaykh al-Uthaymeen. Little books that summarize the critical essential issues that you can learn. Yani you can do the whole book and get a complete Minhaj, even though not every detail is there, because you're starting with what? The small books, and then work your way up. He said, يعني start with the small books وتأملها جيدة and reflect upon it. Look at it, study it carefully until you grasp it. ثم انتقل إلى ما فوقها and then go on to that which is above it, to the bigger books حتى تحصل على العلم شيئا فشيئا على وجه يرسخ في قلبك وتطمئن إليه نفسك. يعني in this way a person will achieve knowledge little by little, شيئا فشيئا, in a manner in which the knowledge will be firmly established, will be deeply rooted in their heart, and their nafs will be at ease, will be comfortable with it. Yani a person will grasp that knowledge and they will retain it and they will be comfortable with it, that they understand what they have studied and that they are able to apply it, as opposed to being all over the place, yani going above your head and you're taking in knowledge that you really don't comprehend and that you are not able to yani retain, that you are not able to implement. Start with the smaller books, contemplate, reflect on them well, then go to the bigger books, so that you will gain knowledge little by little in a way that it will be firmly established in your heart and you will be at ease with it and you will act upon it and you will benefit from it. Number 5, احرص على معرفة أصول المسائل والقواعدها. And be diligent in seeking to become acquainted with the foundations, the fundamentals of the issues, the masail, the fundamentals of the issues that we study, and the qawaid, the principles, the usul and the qawaid, yani the fundamentals. Don't be so eager to learn the fine points that the people are debating to show how much they know, but rather concentrate on what? On the usul, on the qawaid, the things that everything else is based upon. Seek those things. وَقَيِّدْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ يَمُرُّ بِكَ مِنْ هَذَا الْقَبِيلِ. And whatever you come across of these things, the usul, the foundations, and the qawaid, write them down. Yani take a notebook, as Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafizahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he told us before the summer vacation one year, he said, get a notebook and write down. Whenever you come across something of benefit, write it down. And where you read it at, so you can always go back to it. And then he told us that he had done such a thing with the notes that he found in his teaching of Fathul Bari, when he was explaining Sahih al-Bukhari in the Prophet's Masjid, and the students said to him, can we see your notes? They said, we'll write them out, we'll type them up. And then they took the Sheikh's notes, and they copied it, and somebody typed them up, and then it was printed. And that book is available today. The Sheikh's own notes, that he... what he, the benefits that he found from Fathul Bari when he was teaching Sahih al-Bukhari in the Prophet's Masjid. The benefits that are found there are tremendous. And this will make a person to know that if you in your own reading and in your own studying start to write down the things that you found, especially the usul and the qawaid, beneficial points, that later on you know where you read it at, you'll be easily able to go back to it and you'll easily be able to review it, because you will forget much of what you have read if you don't write it down. The Shaykh said it has been said, yani the importance of the usul, he said, is indicated in the saying, من حرم الأصول حرم الوصول. Whoever have been prevented, whoever have been deprived of, denied the usul, the fundamentals, if they didn't get them, then they will be deprived of الوصول, of reaching, yani the goal, yani what are you seeking? Yani where are you trying to reach? What is your destination in seeking knowledge? You will not arrive if you didn't understand the fundamentals. And the Shaykh said, and this is the last point, we're going to stop here quickly. ناقش المسائل مع شيخك أو من تثق به علما ودينا من أقرانك ولو بأن تقدر في ذهنك أن أحدا يناقشك فيها إذ لم تكون المناقشة ما من سميناها. The Shaykh said, and يعني ناقش المسائل, يعني these issues that you are learning, يعني have some discussion, يعني debate, or يعني discussion of these issues with your Shaykh to make sure you understand them well and thoroughly, or whoever you trust in their knowledge and their deen. يعني not only they have knowledge, but they are people of integrity, of character. Whoever you trust of their knowledge and their deen from your contemporaries. Even if you didn't find anybody like this, your sheikh or somebody that you trust to make the munaqisha with, the Shaykh said, then imagine in your mind that there's somebody, yani, having this discussion with you, yani, the munaqisha of these issues. And then the Shaykh says, هذا وأسأل الله, yani, this is what he wanted to say, وأسأل الله تعالى يعلمك ما ينفعك وينفعك بما علمك ويزيدك علما ويجعلك من عباده الصالحين وحزبه المفلحين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. كتبه محمد الصالح الأثيمين, third day of Rajab, the year 1412 of the Hijra, and his signature was upon it. He said, I ask Allah the Most High to teach you that which will benefit you, beneficial knowledge, and to benefit you with that which He has taught you, yani to teach you that which will benefit you, and then to enable you to benefit from that which He has taught you, and to increase you in knowledge, and to make you to be from His righteous worshippers, and from His successful, yani, hizb, and the peace, may the peace of Allah and His blessing and His mercy be upon you, written by Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen on this particular day. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.